I spend a lot of time preparing through the week messages that the Lord would lay on my heart. And many times I will prepare, well, I'll be working on sermons as many as 12 to 15 at one time. I just, through the week I'm working on 12 to 15 messages all the time. And occasionally God will just drop something in my spirit. And I pray and seek the Lord and ask God what he would have me to say. And there are times when the Spirit of God just moves on me and just says, I want you to preach this. He just drops it on top of me like a ton of bricks and says, this is what you need to talk about tonight. And I say, yes, sir. Amen. I mean, no, that's the only response you ought to have when God says, I want you to say this tonight. Yes, sir. Amen. And so I want you to open up your Bibles with me, please, to the book of Psalms, the first page in the book of Psalms. Chapter 1, verse 1, six verses. Three of these verses are talking about the blessed man. And three of these verses at the end, 4, 5, and 6, is talking about the ungodly man. And I want to point out some things that will bless your heart and some things that will stir you and help you be stronger in the Lord. Amen. So Thursday will be a stronger day for you in Christ because you're going to receive something good tonight. On Wednesday night, amen. Let's stand for the reading of God's word, Psalm 1, verse 1 through 6. I'm going to draw your attention to a phrase made in verse 4. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall also not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's the blessed man. Verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand, you could use the phrase stand up in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Draw your attention to verse 4, the first part of it, and the ungodly are not so. I want to talk about the not so man. May be seated. The not so man. This Psalm 1, it's always been a blessing to me. I've always been thrilled about this Psalm. It's amazing. Blessed is the man. And I want to be blessed. How many in this room want to be blessed? Well, these three verses tell us how to be blessed. The Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That includes the counsel of a neighbor that doesn't know Christ, or even a grandmother, a grandfather, or a father, or a mother that doesn't know Christ. There's always people out there that want to give you advice. I've had people give me advice all my life. And there's always going to be people trying to give you advice, but you're wasting your time unless you're really a Bible thumper to even talk to me and try to tell me what to do and what not to do, because you're wasting your time. I will listen only to a child of God. That's the bottom line. I don't take counsel from freeloaders and ungodly people. Amen. I don't take counsel from flops and people that have disintegrated their life. I take counsel from those that have known the power of Jesus Christ in their life. And so the Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor can he stand up in the way of sinners. He standeth in the way of sinners. And I mean, no, it's important that a lot of people understand this phrase, he standeth in the way of sinners, meaning he lives like the sinners live, because he is a sinner. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law doth he meditate day and night. And the Bible says that he shall be like a tree. The blessed man shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. I'll come back to that in just a little bit. His leaf shall not wither, and whosoever or whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I'm talking about the not so man. It says in verse 4, the ungodly are not so. So we understand that the ungodly are not so like verse 1, 2, and 3. We understand that the not so man, the ungodly, the not so man walks in the counsel of this world. The not so man stands in the sinner's filth and wickedness. The not so man sits in the seat of the judgment to scorn and to mock and to criticize others. The not so man delights in lawlessness. And by the way, we're seeing lawlessness all around us. One of the signs of the end time is lawlessness. Law doesn't mean a thing. And by the way, when the church is gone, it will be total darkness and lawlessness. His mind, speaking of the not so man, is filled with corruption. He is not planted by rivers, but he's planted by the river of filth and ungodly pleasure. He has great moments of despair and gloom. He may prosper in his own ways, but most of those ungodly men will never prosper at all. If they do prosper, they prosper in the wrong way. And so let me say that the ungodly man walks in the counsel of this world. The godly man, the blessed man, walks in the counsel of the godly. We need to understand the Bible says we are blessed when we walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. We are blessed when we don't stand and live and walk and talk and move about like the way of the sinner. We can't stand in the way of a sinner, nor can we stand or march in the direction of a sinner. We can't do that. And the Bible says that we are to not sit in the seat of the scornful. Now, when I walked into here, into this building today, and I was here early today, and anytime I walk in here, I'm the pastor of the church, and Josh, the associate pastor of the church, and I can sit in any chair I want to. Hello? I can sit in any chair I want to. I can sit in Josh's chair. He can come up to me and say, Josh can say, I'm an associate pastor. Would you move, please? That's my chair. And I'll say, no, I've got you. I'm a step higher than you. I'm keeping your chair. I could do that if I wanted to. I could sit at the piano bench. I don't know what I'd do, except make horrible noise and sounds. But I could sit anywhere in this auditorium that I want to sit. I could come in here and sit in the back row. Now, he's not talking about sitting in a physical, actual chair here. The Bible says, blessed is the man that sitteth not in the seat of the scornful. So he's talking about an attitude chair. And boy, have I seen a lot of people sitting in an attitude chair. Amen? I could choose to sit in a chair and be judgmental, be critical, be hateful. I could choose to come and sit in a chair and fold my arms together like I'm superior to you. And I can be judgmental. The Bible says, blessed is the man that sitteth not in the seat of the scornful. And so the one thing I choose is to never sit in a chair in this church that is a seat of the scornful. I don't want to ever sit in a chair of being a scornful person. I don't want to ever sit in a chair of being a jealous person. I don't want to ever sit in a chair of being a critical person or a person that gossips and says bad things about other people. In fact, if you get any pleasure out of hurting somebody else, you're not right with God. Nobody should ever get pleasure out of hurting another person. And the Bible says that we are blessed because we are not like the ungodly. The Bible says in verse 4, the ungodly are not so. And I'm talking about that not so man, that man that's not so. I mean, he's not going to heaven. He's not going to have the blessings of God. And God gives some simple things. In verse 1, he says that we are to walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's the first thing. We're not to stand in the way of sinner. We're not to sit in the seat of the scornful. But the Bible says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law doth he meditate day and night. The lost man, his mind is filled with corruption. the not so man, the ungodly man. The Bible says the ungodly are not so. That ungodly man, his mind is not filled with the blessed goodness of God, and he doesn't delight in the law of the Lord. His mind is corrupt. The man that doesn't walk in the that walks in the counsel of the world, the man who stands in the filth of a sinner, the man who sits in the chair of judgment and scornful and mocking, his delight is in lawlessness. The Bible says that we are people that should delight in the law or the word of the Lord. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, what delights us? Well, a lost man has a lot of things that he delights in. Lost people delight in certain things. But Christians really do delight in God's word. Christians really do delight in going to church. The last thing that some people tonight wanted to do was be in church. But everybody that's in this building right now, you're glad you're here. You'll be more glad when I'm done speaking, but you'll be glad, you're glad you're here. I often used to tell people when I was in evangelism, you come to church and you can't wait for the preacher to get done, say amen, be done with the sermon. I said, why do you bother to come? You come and torment yourself for an hour, the service going, and then you walk out saying, whew, that's a good sermon. It was only 20 minutes. Well, I didn't come here to get out. I come here to get in. Now, I realize that there's only so much your blessed assurance can handle. I'm talking about shorter sermons, not having to sit so long. There's only so much your blessed assurance can handle. And there's only so much our mind's going to handle. Some of you won't grab very much of the message, but what you do grab, it'll probably be something that you thought was very needed in your life. And very few people can walk out of this building tonight and quote my message word for word. In fact, nobody can. I can't even do that. You say, why can't you do that? Because I'm not reading it. I'm not reading my sermon. Spirit of God's anointing me. You say, well, can't you be anointed and write it down? Yeah, but it's a whole lot better just be anointed and get up and preach it. It's by faith, not by written paper. Amen. And that's why I say things that I feel like I shouldn't say, and you're sitting out there saying amen, you shouldn't have said it. And God said, I'm so glad he said that tonight. Amen. Hello. God's got a sense of humor. If he didn't, he'd have never called me to preach. I'm part of that sense of humor of God. But the Bible's very clear that God's people delight in God's word. Darkness is something that certain animals gravitate to. Insects, like a roach, will gravitate to dark places, right? They want to go where it's dark. And the brightest place in this church right now is where God's word is being spoken. It's brighter than the bathroom. It's brighter than the hallway. The brightest place in this room is where God's word is being spoken. Not the chandeliers, not the candlelights. The brightest place in this church is where God's word is being spoken, because God's word is light. And the entrance of God's word is light. Amen. And so I always worry about people that when the preaching starts, they wander out in the parking lot or wander out in the foyer, and they just walk around, and it's amazing, they know just about when the sermon's over and then they wander back in. Amen. Now, we had a wonderful time Sunday, and we had a great time just praising the Lord, and a lot of people came out, and I appreciate everybody that came, but there were a few came and you could tell they were not here for the preaching, they were here for the good eating. You could tell that. I'm not being critical. I'm just being honest. It's a whole lot cheaper than Golden Corral. Right? And I've seen a few people come in here. They were here for the excitement. They were here for the good time. And when it came time, they liked the music. But the minute I stood up to get ready to preach, they disappeared. And where did they go? Well, they went out in the parking lot, or they went somewhere else. They learned they can't run to the bathroom because there's speakers in there. My mother-in-law used to get so mad at me about the speakers. We put speakers in the bathroom because I realized, bless God, you ought to hear the word of God while you're sitting there. Amen? And so we put speakers in the bathrooms. Never will forget, we had it blaring, going, and Granny came out, my mother-in-law even. She come walking out, and she was madder than a wet hen. Oh, she was mad. She said, a person can't even go to the bathroom around here without my son-in-law yelling at me. Oh, she was mad. But she got over it. Amen? I said she got over it. She's in heaven right now. She got over it. I'm not sure she got over it till she left, but anyway, she did get over it. She learned to do her business before I started preaching, so she, at least she could listen to the music. But anyway, I've noticed that people that love the Word want to be around the Word, and people that don't love the Word won't be around the Word. And what do you meditate in? What is it that you meditate in? The Bible says, "The blessed is the man who loves, delights in the law of the Lord, and in His law doeth he meditate day and night." When you get ready to go to bed, are you thinking about the Word of God? When you get up the next morning, are you thinking about the Word of God? I think about the Word of God while I'm sleeping. I have dreams that I'm preaching away. I dream, and sometimes I preach some of the best sermons, but I can't remember them now because I preach them while I'm sleeping. Sometimes I preach sermons and I wake up in the middle of the excitement and it's like there's a tent meeting. I've got my foot sticking straight up in the air. The blankets are stretched out like a tent. I thought, man, I'm in a tent meeting tonight. And Judy says, go back to bed. And so the Word of God consumes me. I love the Word of God. You're here because you wanted to hear the Word of God. And I love the singing. The music's been good. That song that Josh sung, that's one of my favorites that Terry wrote. I love that song, one of my favorites. Every time somebody sings a song to Terry, I say, that's my favorite. So, you know, it's kind of like the Bible. Everything I read, that's my favorite. That's my favorite. That's kind of, he was a great songwriter, great man of God. Look forward to seeing him soon. I said soon. I think it's going to be soon, don't you? But the Bible says that the blessed man meditates in the law of God day and night. And while he meditates in the law of God day and night and thinks about the blessings of the Lord, his mind is consumed with the blessings of the Lord. But the Bible says that because of this, verse 3, and he shall be like a tree, this is the blessed man, planted by the rivers of water, or planted by rivers of water, and that it bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf shall also not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now I want to point something out that's very important. The Bible says that we shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers, and we bring forth fruit in his season. Now remember this, there are seasons of fruit. There are seasons of growth. When I plant my garden in the spring of the year, I plant the seed, but I don't go out that night and pick the fruit. There are seasons of growth. There are seasons of persecution in our life. There are seasons of testing of our faith in our life. There are seasons. You may be sitting in this room right now saying, man, I'm seasoned good. I ain't been blessed in weeks. There's times that God puts it on pause. I said, there's time when God puts you on pause. So, well, why does he put me on pause? So you can catch up. Amen. You're behind. And so we need to understand that a tree in the winter, all the sap goes down into the roots underground to protect it from freezing. And all that sap goes down into the ground, and that's called winter time. And that tree goes through a process in which that it will, and I realize a lot of people help it prune it. They help prune it, prune trees. People help, J.R. pruned our grapes, and I thought he killed him dead, graveyard dead. But, you know, there's a pruning time. And you say, how does nature prune a tree? Well, all them leaves falling off is part of the pruning process. Hello? Now, I'm old enough that I'm going to do something about the leaves that fall in my yard. Josh is young enough, he ain't going to do nothing about the leaves that fall in his yard. I guess taking care of leaves is an old man or old lady thing. I'm not sure. But there's times in your life. Don't expect yourself to produce a basket load of fruit every day of your life. Expect yourself to grow and to be nourished in the things of God. And expect when it's the season, when it's time, that you truly will produce fruit. The Bible says that the one planted by the rivers will bring forth fruit in his season. Meaning it's not going to bring fruit every day. What you need to do is hook into those rivers of life, suck that nourishment from the Lord, drink of those waters, bless the things of God, stay in church, stay in your Bible, stay meditating on things of God. You may not see results right now, but they're on the way. You may not see the victory right now, but it's on the way. You may not see the blessing, the prosperity right now, but it's on the way. Your job and my job is to send roots into the river and take the nourishment from the Lord and let God strengthen us and make us strong. So that when it comes time in season to produce fruit, we will do so. Amen? Some folks never produce fruit because they never take nourishment from the Lord. People that are consistent in church will produce fruit. People that are consistent in the Bible will produce fruit. People that are consistent in prayer will produce fruit. People that are not will not produce fruit. There'll be a stunted tree. Are they a Christian? If they're by the rivers of water and they're meditating on the things of God, they're a Christian. They may not be as strong as some other Christians, but I mean, we'd like to have a bumper load of a big crop of fruit. I like a lot of fruit, amen? I got so tickled. You read in the Bible where Jesus says, cast your net on the right side. And they cast their net on the right side there in the Lake of Tiberias and Peter, James, and John. And they pull in the net. And the Bible says the net began to break. And in one place it said the ship began to sink. There was so much fish. And I said, you know, I believe the Bible, but I've never been fishing and experienced that. Come on. I believe the Bible. I went out fishing in a boat. I never caught so many fish that the boat began to sink. But I believe the Bible. And I got so tickled. I was watching something on the internet the other day. And it was actual footage of someone bringing in fish into a little old boat, little old tiny boat. And they took the net and dumped it into the boat. And the boat sunk right out there in the lake. Just shoom. I thought, there you go. They illustrated the Bible completely. Amen? But listen to me. You need to stay in a position where you will draw nourishment from God. And the blessed man, the Bible says that he'll be by the rivers of water, and everything he does will prosper. I mean, in this room, want to be a prosperer. I want to prosper. Amen? Everything I do, I want it to be. I don't want to be a flop. I don't want to be a failure. I want to prosper, right? I mean, you don't get up every morning and say, oh, God, I hope I fail today. I mean, you don't get up every morning, look in the mirror and say, fella, I hope you just crash and burn today. You don't do that. You pray on the contrary, that things will be right with your life, amen? Nobody wants to crash and burn, amen? And so the Bible says we meditate in the law of the Lord day and night. We are planted like a tree by the rivers of water. And then it says, whatever we do shall prosper. There's another thing it says, that we'll produce fruit in our season, meaning it's not going to be every week or every day. But over the process of your life, you will yield abundance of fruit from time to time out of your life. But there's a process that takes place. People get it all wrong when they think, man, I got to have fruit every day of my life. Well, you got to live in that fruit, and you got to be sweet. You got to be a juicy fruit. Amen. And as a child of God, you need to be a juicy fruit. You can't be a double mint. You got a juicy fruit. And you ought to enjoy the blessings of the Lord. But the truth is, you're not going to produce great things every day of your life. But life is exciting because we are in the process of nourishment, getting ready to do great things. Amen? And getting ready to do great things is as fun as doing the things. Enjoying the things. Amen? I remember years ago, we traveled in evangelism. The kids were always asking, and it is true, they asked, are we there yet? That honestly happens. Are we there yet? I'm tired. And then you got, you know, you're traveling with five kids. And of course, we had a couple of them close to when we came here to Ozark Full Gospel Church. We had five we'd travel with. And all five of them would need to go to the bathroom, but they wouldn't need to go to the bathroom, all of them 20 miles apart. And I tell my kid, go use the bathroom. I don't need to, Dad. Son, go to the bathroom. Don't need to, Dad. I said, you get in there now. And the boy would get in there. We'd get up, I'm not going to tell you who, we'd get up the road, and that boy that I forced into the bathroom, I need to go to the bathroom, Dad. I said, did you go in there and use the bathroom? I told you to go in there. He said, didn't need to, Dad. So now he needed to. So I've learned that when you travel, you don't get in your concept. See, some people are so caught up in getting where they're going, they don't enjoy their going. Amen? And getting where you're going ought to be as exciting as getting to where you are going to be there. Amen? It ought to be exciting. Being a Christian ought to be an exciting process in your life. The journey as we go. Amen? I've been the pastor of this church for 25 years. I plan to pastor this church or be involved with it in a great way for another 25 years. Now, that's a big statement because I'll be 90 years old in 25 years. So notice I said I'd like to be a part of this church for another 25 years. I didn't say I want to run and take care of every aspect of it. I'm going to lean heavily on the associate pastor. In fact, I might just phase back and just be like a tree sucking water out of the rivers of life and enjoying the blessings of God. And every now and then, my son may say, Dad, do you feel like getting up there and preaching to the people? And I'll say, son, I sure do, and here I'll come. And I'll get up the stairs, crawl up the stairs, and I'll say, you rotten devils, you need to get saved. No, I wouldn't. But I get up there and say, it's grand to be a Christian. Amen? Hello! You say, see, some of you are sitting there saying, I like your preaching better when you're old. Well, I ain't going there yet. But the Bible says something else about us producing fruit at this river. And it says that our leaf shall not wither. A Christian should not have droopy leaves. Hello? No middle name of any Christian in this room ought to be droopy or wilty. And if your middle name's droopy, you need to change your middle name. But anyway, and sure as well, somebody will be, and that's fine. Take it up with Josh. But anyway, we used to have a guy in our church, and his name was Wilford. And everybody called him Wimp. Everybody called him Wimp. And it took me forever to get used to saying, would Brother Wimp come forward and help take the offering? It was hard to call him Wimp. He knew I was struggling with it. And he caught me after service. He said, look, everybody calls me Wimp. He said, just call me Wimp. I'm okay with it. He said, I know I'm not a wimp. I know you are, but I know I'm not. And he's the one that made me so mean when I preach. But anyway, the Bible says our leaf shall not wither. We need to be people that are full of life. Now, I made a statement on Facebook about our church, 25 years. I don't know whether you read it or not. It doesn't matter whether you read it or not. I'm going to tell you a piece of it now. I said, in the 25 years of Ozark Full Gospel Church, we have seen great things, miracles. We've seen multitudes come and receive Christ, and their lives have been changed. God has kept us fresh. He's kept us anointed. We have not deteriorated. We have not faded away. We have not become dull. We have not become stagnant. We have not become stale. We have not become lukewarm. For 25 years, God has done many things. I've seen hundreds of people come and go, thousands actually come and go. And we have seen change after change after change in our church. And with each change, God's amazing grace stayed with us. Why? Because this church has always been planted by the cross of Calvary, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, by the glory of God. And God has given us grace for grace. Now, good? We've always stuck to the message, the message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so, ultimately, some people who leave over the process of years will say, well, the church ain't it, it's not the same as it used to be. People will say that used to come here years ago, well, the church is not the same as it used to be. And I want to say to everybody that would say that, you're right. We're not the same as we used to be. We're a million times better. We're a million times better because we're growing. We've had these 25 years to get all the things out that shouldn't be there. We've had these 25 years to perfect, to get to a place where we have what we have now. I don't know about you, but I enjoy just coming to church and having church and not a bunch of frillies and things and showbiz in the process. I like to just have good church, good word of God. Amen? The Bible says the ungodly are not so. Why? Verse 4 says the ungodly are not so, the not so man. The Bible says he's like the chaff that the wind driveth away. The ungodly shall not stand or stand up in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. In other words, the lost and the ungodly will not be in the judgment seat of Christ where we'll be. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now I want to just conclude with this thought. Blessed is the man. And everybody in this room can say, blessed is the man, blessed is the woman, the child of God. The ungodly are not so. And I'll just give you my third little point. I am a yes, it's so man. Yes, it's so. Jesus loves me. It's so. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That word so was put in there because there's no description that you can give. God so loved the world. In Psalm 103, verse 12 and 13, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Hello. Notice in Psalm 107, verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Now, the ungodly are not so, but I'm a child of God, so it is so. It is so that my sins have been removed as far as the east from the west. It is so that God has given me the blessings, and he so loved me and you and I as Christians that we're going to heaven because of the precious life of Jesus Christ. Psalm 107, verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. What are they supposed to say? Whom the Lord hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. We are to say that the Lord is good, his mercy endureth forever. We are to be victorious in what we say. Now let me bring one little more thing to you that the Spirit of God put in my spirit. And if you don't get anything out of the sermon except what I'm about to share with you right now, please lay hold on this. The Bible says that the Lord God pitieth us because he knows that we were made from the dust. He knows that we are dust. We were made from the dust of the ground. And in Psalm 103, verse 13, it says that the Lord pitieth us. Now, it says in that next verse, 13, Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. I used to read that verse of scripture and I always had this attitude. Isn't that nice? God pities me as I'm stupid and dumb. Isn't that nice? When the Bible says the Lord pities us, that word pity doesn't mean that you're stupid and dumb. Oh yes, the Lord pities me because I am so ignorant, so unlearned. No, and you say, preacher, I would never say that, but you've thought it 100 times. How many in this room ever thought that? Compared to God, I'm not saying compared to anybody in the world, but compared to God. And so let me tell you what that word pitieth means. It says pitieth twice. The Father pitieth his children, the Lord pitieth them that fear him. The word used twice for pity. Pitieth means to love deeply. Pity means to cherish. Pity means to be tender in love. To love someone like a father loves a child. The child is helpless. I said the child is helpless. And that's what it means when it says, like a father pitieth his children, because his children are helpless. And so he pitieth them that trust. They lean on him. He pitieth them that fear him, that trust him and fear him. And so let me say real quickly, that word pity doesn't mean, isn't that nice? God pities us because we're just dumb and stupid. No. God pities us because we are helpless. We're his children. He loves us. He cares for us. Amen? Yeah, preacher, you've been using so strong of words tonight. I don't let my children use some of those words you've used tonight. Yeah, but you got to be careful. They'll use dirty words, and at least I'm not using them. Amen? I had a guy tell me one time, he let a big old curse word out, and he said, pardon me, preacher. He said, pardon me, preacher. I just let one slip. And I looked at him and I said, brother so-and-so, he's supposed to be a Christian. I said, brother so-and-so, I don't have one of them words in me to slip. They've all been stripped out of me. And by the way, I'm not going to hang around people that uses those words because they might get in my mind. And so I'm just going to keep myself clean. I'm going to keep myself stripped from bad language. Amen? Hello? Praise God. I often thought how often we would have church if everybody in the church had to come immediately when they got into a spell at home. Always wonder what it would be like if our church, if the wife got, sideways, if the husband got sideways, there was a little bit of bickering with the children or bickering with the wife or the husband, and he just got sideways, if immediately you're transported to church. In the middle of your fussing, boom, you're there. And here I am standing looking at you saying, glad you could drop in. Hello? I guarantee you a whole lot more people attend church more than what they do if that was one of the criterias in the land today. Amen? Hello? I remember one time I knocked on a door, and man, before I knocked on it, there was a woman and a man, and they were having it out. There was noises in that house that was not made by mouth. It was made by things being thrown. They were in a knockdown dragout. They were part of our church. And so I just stood outside and listened to the show. I heard him cussing, I heard him yelling, I heard him throwing stuff. And so finally the Lord says, are you done? Knock on the door. And I said to the Lord, I just was a little scared to knock on it. He said, you weren't scared, you were being nosy. And so I knocked on the door. And the first person to the door was the lady, and she said, oh, Pastor, I wasn't expecting you. She turned her head and yelled real loud like Archie Bunker's woman, whatever her name was, and she said, the pastor's here! Like she was trying to get word to him, whatever you're doing, stop and desist, quit. And I remember they walked to the door, if he walked to the door where she was, and they held hands. And while they, come in, Pastor, we were just having a good time in the Lord. And when I walked in there, they were having a good time in the Lord. And while I was talking to him, he reached over and pecked his wife on the cheek with a kiss. I thought, how sweet. How sweet. They said, why are you here? And I said, well, I came because the Lord wanted me to come by and visit with you and share some things with you in the ministry. She said, well, I didn't, said, they said, did we hear your knock soon? And I said, yeah, you heard the knock. You came right to it. I knocked loud. I said, well, Pastor, how long have you been out there? And I said, I heard every word. I heard every word. I heard everything that went on. And they just wilted. And they said, Preacher, we're so sorry. We're so sorry. And I said, don't tell me. Because you weren't doing it to me. Tell the Lord. No, never will forget. We got down on our knees right there on that floor. And they asked the Lord to forgive them for the way they were acting. And asked God to have mercy upon them. They told me later on that that night when I knocked on the door was the thing that actually changed their life. They realized that they were living in a state of deception. And it actually changed their life. And so I'm just saying that all of us need to be blessed as the man or woman. And we need to walk in God's blessing. Let God's blessing come our way. Amen. Let the Lord bless our heart. Let the Lord guide us and direct us. Because it's important that all of us get what we need from the Lord. I'm not here trying to tell you to do a certain thing or act a certain way. I'd like for you to be happy. And God would like for you to be happy. God wants you to be victorious. Amen. He wants you to be blessed. Because he started out Psalms, the song book of the Bible, with blessed is the man. And God wants everybody in this room, man or woman, be blessed. To be blessed. Stand with me. Glad you came tonight. The Lord just dropped this sermon in my heart today and said, I want you to preach it. And so I did. And I want you to know that a person that doesn't walk in the counsel of God, is that ungodly or not so? But the godly have peace. The godly have love. The godly have joy in their life. The godly know where they're going. Those that are blessed of the Lord, God will give you victory. And whatever you do will prosper. Amen? Whatever you do will prosper. Because God so far has removed our transgressions from us. God so far has pitied us. He so pities us as his children. God so loved us that we can say, I am a yes, I am a man, a woman of God that is loved so much. I am not like the ungodly that are not so. Altars open, you come.